The message today is when continuance with Christ in his temptations stopped. I'll read you from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here, while I go yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and sore troubled. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here, and watch with me. And he went forward a little, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came again and found them sleeping. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. And they come unto a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. Now, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me. Howbeit, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And he came out and went as his custom was unto the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray, that you enter not into temptation. And he was parted from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And now, the verse we read last week, look in chapter 22 at verse 28. But ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. And after that, the portions I read. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, there are so many things we would expect to be in thy word, but we have not found them there. And then there are other things, so intimate and so sacred, we would not expect to find them there. But you have put them there. And if you could say to Moses, as he looked at the burning bush, Take thy shoes from off thy feet, the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Our Father, thou dost know that thy Son in the garden, in agony, is a place equally sacred and precious, and because it is in thy word, we will consider it this morning. We remember what you said to Moses, take your shoes from off your feet. Our God, we remember what John the Baptist said to thy son, I'm not worthy to loose the laces of his shoes. But our Father, thou hast told us to preach the whole counsel of God. So we would consider this portion as well. We are thankful, our God, that thou hast shown us some of the things that existed between you and your Son from all eternity. We have heard him say in prayer, Father, you loved me before the foundation of the world. And we have heard him speak in the garden in his intimate way with thee, Abba, Father. So our God, make these truths that are precious in themselves precious to our hearts. You know what is necessary to accomplish this. Work by thy Spirit upon those who hear and him who speaks. And we confess our sins, be faithful in just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I told you last week that our Savior congratulated his disciples for continuing with him in his temptations. I brought to your attention how in John chapter 6, many of them heard the Savior speak, and it says they were his disciples. And when he said certain words, it says they went back and walked no more with him. But now, the Lord Jesus has come to the very last day of his life on earth. And he can say to the disciples, his intimate ones, you have continued with me in my temptation. But the sad thing is this, that the continuance with Christ in his temptations ended that very hour. Because the marvel was the fact that Christ would admit such as they to be associated with him in his temptation. And some of them, they were successful in bearing with him. But this temptation, and understand that this temptation is greater than the temptation we considered in Luke chapter 4, when our Savior was in the wilderness 40 days tempted of the devil. Here, it is not something that he is tempted to do that he should not do, but it is the temptation to refrain from doing something that is paramount for the world that God so loves. It is essential that Christ do this. And this is the temptation. There are some temptations that come upon us and we attempt it to do what we should not do. And other temptations come upon us and the temptation is to refrain from doing a responsibility that God has placed upon us. And this is such a temptation. And I tell you that this temptation is greater coming from the Father than the temptations that Satan, the deceiver, the wild, the one who possesses all this wild, greater than anything that Satan could ever think of with which to trick our Lord into disobeying his Father. It is not Satan here that is tempting our Savior. It is the Father who has placed before his Son his whole life long, his will. And our Savior has said, thy law is within my heart. And the Father has placed before him, and I told you, and I must say again, when God tempts us, it is not to either, but to good. Satan tempts us that we might sin. The Father puts us to the test that he might prove that we will not sin. Satan said concerning Job, do this, and he will curse you to your face. God said, try him and see. And in like manner, the Father is testing his Son, not to expose if there is any sin in him, but to expose his perfection, his purity, his obedience. And the Lord Jesus has been obedient his whole life long. There has never been in thought or word or deed anything that ever displeased his Father. And the Lord Jesus knew that. You know when you've done wrong. And you know when you've done right. And the Lord Jesus said concerning himself, I do always those things that please my Father. To think that we could go through life knowing that we have always done the things that please the Father. And there were hard things the Father asked his Son to do. How many of you would want to be born in a stable if it were your choice? You say, no. How many of you who had a brilliant mind would want to be deprived of using that mind to the fullest and waste 30 years of your life in an insignificant town named Nazareth? None of you. And yet the Father said, I want you to be born in Bethlehem of Judea in a manger. The Lord Jesus said, yes, Father. And he said, I want you to live as a carpenter in obscurity in Nazareth for 30 years. Yes, Father. I want you to receive no professional education. I want you to remain one who is not exalted in the minds of the people. Yes, Father. And as for your retinue, those that are going to follow you, I want you to take ignorant and unlearned fishermen and surround yourself with them and a despised income tax collector. And also, I want you to have as one of your apostles a traitor, one that shall sell you for 30 pieces of silver. Yes, Father. But now, all the things that our Savior had been requested to do by his Father before were of no consequence to what his Father demands of his Son now. And it is this. He said, it pleases me to rule you. Do you remember we read that in Isaiah 53? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And the Father says to his Son, all of these things that I've ever requested of you, you have obeyed. There is no wish of mine to which you have not complied. He said, now, I want you to go to the cross, and I want to make your soul an offering for sin. And I say, this is the greatest temptation that ever came into the life of our Savior. Because God himself tells us so by giving us the fullness of the account in Matthew, Mark, and in Luke. And the Savior has recourse to the very thing that you and I do when the Father asks of us something that is of great difficulty. And that is, we may go into the presence of God and talk the matter over with our Heavenly Father. So understand that about prayer. That when you know that God has chosen something in life for you to do, and it is something that is not pleasant to the flesh, it is something that is going to cause intense pain and sorrow of heart, there is no such thing as a Christian boldly saying, yes, Lord, and rejoicing and going into such a request of God in that attitude. The Lord Jesus did not do it. Understand it. Some say, why do you hesitate to do the will of God? Because at times, the will of God is a difficult thing to carry out in your life. And our Savior, and he did no sin, you understand this, for that reason, I rejoice that God has shown us that when he makes known to me his will, and it is a thing that is hard to do, there is no sin to go into the Father's presence and tell him plainly how we feel about the matter, and also to request of him to take away this cup, this power that he has chosen for us in our life. If, at the end of it all, we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So remember that. If there is something hard, if there be such a thing as a young man or a woman who looks upon one who is unsaved and wants that person for a mate, but he knows that God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. God does not expect you just to smile and say, I have nothing to do with this. He expects it to reach into the depths of your heart, and he expects you to go into his presence and pray to him and say, Father, I want this woman for my wife. I know that she is unsaved, but I want her. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There is no sin in that. But what is so shameful is this, that we are like Sansa. And when there was this outside of Israel woman, and he wanted her, he went to his parents, and he said to his parents, get that woman for me. She pleaseth me well. You understand? Not your will, but mine be done. And I'm afraid that that's the way that most of us live. You see a woman that you want? Get her for me. You see a wedge of gold? You see a Babylonish garment? You see the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them? You say, give them to me. I want. There is no sin in the fact that they are alluring to you. There was no sin when the Savior was hungry and he wanted something to eat. There is no sin. But it is when you eat and God has not given you leave to eat. That is sin. There is no sin in your wanting future glory. To want to sit at Christ's right hand and at his left hand is no sin. But to expect to get it by deceit, by cunning, that is sin. And so what God would have us to understand is that the Savior is doing what he has done his whole life long. When difficult things arose in his life, he goes and he tells his Father how he feels about them, what he would desire. But then he always ends his prayer, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thine be done. I read from the three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke because each one is stated differently. But first of all, since I'm telling you about the nature of prayer, I want to tell you about the two ways. It is not stated two ways in Mark and Luke. But two of the three prayers that Christ prayed are given to us in Matthew. And it is so helpful, like this, to read of Abraham in Genesis when he is praying for the deliverance of Sodom, to see how he prayed to God at first, and then to see how he prayed to God at the last, is a lesson. In progress that you make in prayer, progress in boldness in asking God for more as you go along, and you realize just how far God is prepared to go in answering your prayer. Abraham learned that. Now, in like manner, there is a lesson in considering the two of the three prayers that Christ uttered, because it says he prayed these words, these same words, three times. Understand, the same words, not the exact words. He prayed differently, and yet they were the same, because the request, the desire, the substance was all the same, but it was not identical. Such is an example in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. The Lord's Prayer that our Savior taught his disciples to pray. They are the same, but they are not exact. So in like manner, our Savior prayed the same words three times, but not the exact words. And listen carefully how he phrased his prayer in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. But before we consider the three distinct ways of phrasing that prayer in the different Gospels, the way that he framed his prayer the second time he prayed in Matthew chapter 26. The first time in Matthew he said this. He said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Notice, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The second time he says, my Father, if this cup cannot pass, except I drink it, thy will be done. You see the difference? He says it first, if it this cup pass from me. The second time he says, if this cup cannot pass from me. And what it literally says is this. If it is impossible, the same word. When he says, if it be possible, to find the construction using the same word. We translate it differently. But Christ said, if it be possible. The second time he says, if it is impossible, if this cup cannot pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You see, at first, there is a glimmer that perhaps this cup might pass. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. The second time, notice, if it cannot be, let this cup pass from me. Because there is the realization, as the hour draws nigh, of all the things that Christ has known all along, becoming a part of his being. That's what prayer is given to us for. It is not to change God if his will is a certain thing, but it is for God to change us and conform us to his will. Even when we know what God's will is, understand, it is no sin to tell Father, as the Savior told his Father, how difficult the thing was. And so, having said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. When he goes back the second time, notice the progress that he's made. He says, Father, if this cannot pass away, because he sees more experientially that it is impossible for that cup to pass. And so he says the second time, if it cannot pass away, except I drink it. I told you about Abraham praying to God about Sodom and the progress that he made. So the Lord Jesus, in the experience of his soul, understands no sin is occurring. When the Lord Jesus Christ is praying to his Father, seeking relief from this hour, removal of the cup, there is absolutely no sin. And that is why when our hearts are burdened and when responsibilities are placed upon us that we know must be fulfilled, or we sin if we fail, our recourse is to go into the presence of God, as we are told to in Hebrews chapter 4. And the reason is that Christ can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And because he can be touched and has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, it says this, let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the Lord Jesus is there. And when we say, Savior, it is hard. The Lord Jesus said, yes, I know that it is hard. And that's why he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's why our high priest is one who not only died for our sins, the Savior, but he ever lived to maintain our relationship to God and to assist us in going through life doing God's will as he, the Son, did his Father's will all through his life. And this is what Christ has learned in his prayer in Matthew 26. Notice, something similar happens to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. There was a thorn in his flesh. And he's praying to God. In this instance, God the Son. He's praying to the Lord Jesus 3 times to remove this thorn in the flesh. And the Savior says nothing to him the first time he prays. Nothing to him the second time he prays. But the 3rd time he prays, he says, I'm not going to take that thorn in the flesh away. He said, I'm going to give you grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, in like manner, whenever there is something hard that is involved in doing the will of God, if God will not remove the cup, if God will not let that hour pass away, then, as the Savior says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. And in the case of our Savior, God's sustaining grace was sufficient for Christ. But in this instance, it was essential that he sent an angel from heaven, and the angel strengthened our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there was something that you have never experienced, much more I have never experienced, That is, the anguish of soul that our Savior did because of the demand to do God's will in our life. Whenever a temptation comes to us, the contrast with us in Christ is this. Whenever sin is put before us, there is something that is attractive of us. The pleasure of sin, and sin draws us to it. That's what Satan would have us to do. But when it comes to sin with Christ, there is nothing in it that is attractive. There is that which is repulsive. And whereas you and I would rush toward sin, the Lord Jesus Christ is repelled by this sin. And whereas God tells us to flee from sin, in this instance, the Father says the Son must be made sin. And that is the temptation, the very opposite of what our temptations are. Our temptation is to abstain from sin, fornication, drunkenness, abstain from these things. And our temptation is to enjoy those things. And all of these vile things that we are spoken to of God to refrain from. The Father says, my son, I want you to be made sin. I want to make your soul an offering for sin. And that sin which attracts us repels the Savior. And it was nothing evil that the Lord is desiring. It is something holy and good that the Lord wants. But the Father says, there is no way that mankind can be redeemed unless you do drink this cup, unless you go through this hour. But now, I will tell you the three distinct ways that our Savior utters his prayer. And these three ways draw upon the attributes of deity. Now listen to them. First of all, he says in Matthew 26, he says, my Father, if it be possible, is there any possible way, my Father, that this cup might pass from me? Think now. The Savior is challenging the omniscience of God. He says, I want you to think of every conceivable way and tell me if it be possible that this cup pass from me. And so the omniscience of God is challenged. But in Mark chapter 14, the Savior says, my Father, all things are possible with you. This is the omnipotence of God. He said, you can do all things. All things are possible with you. He said, remove this cup from me. Let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He brings the omnipotence of God into play. But in Luke's gospel, he says this. He says, Father, if thou be willing, do you love me enough? Is it possible that you could work your will for me, that I might not have to drink this cup? And this is the love of the Father. And so our Savior appeals to the omniscience of his Father, to the omnipotence of his Father, and to the love of his Father. And the combination of all of these attributes could not find any way for Jesus Christ our Lord to escape that hour or to not drink that cup. And therefore, what Paul tells us in Galatians is summed up concerning all that I read to you in the gospel. For the Savior is saying, if it's possible, Father. Paul says this in Galatians. He said, if there had been a law given that could make alive, verily, righteousness would have been of the law. Do you not understand that this is one of the most certain things ever recorded in God's Word? That when the love of God is appealed to, his omnipotence and his omniscience is appealed to. And the Savior is saying, Father, I want you to get me out of this. Is it possible? I want you to understand the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood shows that the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, and the love of God can find no way to redeem your sinful soul apart from the Lord Jesus going to the cross and suffering for you there. And so who are the fools and blind that think that they can display before God their filthy rags and speak of their goodness when Jesus Christ has already exhausted that avenue of escape? And if the Father could have found a way to redeem our souls
other than sending his son to the cross, he never would have gone to the cross. Because the Savior has with his mind challenged the Father's mind. And with every way that the Lord Jesus could think of, praying to his Father that he might escape that hour. And with everything the Father, having omniscience and omnipotence and love that is immeasurable, all of these are put into place, and no solution was arrived at for the redemption of mankind other than the shedding Christ's precious blood. And so there is one way. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness of sins. And the only way that God knew how to redeem sinful men is for his Son to come from heaven and be made flesh and to tabernacle among us and then to bear our sins in his own body upon the tree. Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. And the Lord Jesus now, though he knows it in one sense, in another sense experientially, it has entered into his soul. And therefore, he rises from his prayer, and he says, the cup which the Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it? Our Savior, what is his life? His life is this, not my will, but thine be done. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that since the beginning of time, there has never been a man until this time that has always done your will. We say, our Father, that your disciples continued with him in his temptations up to a point, but then they failed. And we have seen how we continue with him in our temptations up to a point, and we fail. And we have seen good men, our God, men that are after your heart, do something of your will. But we are thankful that you have brought before our eyes this morning the one who always did your will. And we are glad that you have rent the heaven and have said from heaven so that man may hear, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And our Father, we pray that our portion at this meeting shall be that we are well pleased with him also, and that we shall trust him as Savior and know that God's way of salvation is in Christ drinking that cup. And then let us find rest unto our souls. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.